In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Who's up to here? Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Only the strong will survive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 87. I am Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Cyburn 2.
What's up, everybody?
And Plasticon Studios.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We'll also be joined shortly by Trans Jazz. He's doing some things right now, and he said he wouldn't be able to join us till a little bit later, but just expect him to be on in a short while. Also, I just received a tweet a short while ago, a shout out to Peril 75 from TFW 2005 for sharing us in his SIG on TFW. He's engaged in or inquired about a trade with Swage 66, and Swage noticed that he's pimping the podcast. So shout out to Peril 75, and thank you for listening. Sorry about the late start tonight, guys. We had some technical difficulties again with, guess what, Google Plus. But we got them.
I went all 8-bit Satan.
Yeah, 8-bit Satan here. But
well, screen kept that later and posted it on the Facebook page. so anyone who goes on there gets the joke.
Yeah.
True.
But we had some technical difficulties, and here comes Trans Jazz.
Oh, not again.
Oh, man.
I get the same reaction every time I come back on. I don't know what the deal is.
Hide your face.
You guys are going to give me a complex.
It's because you gave Weird Wolf that Creo and not me.
I didn't give him a Creo.
He gave me a custom exclusive, which is very awesome.
I gave prototype at that.
Legos. But yeah, I'm just messing with you. No, I had to fill in for Swage. I had to give you a little grief. We shared the same name, so
if you were filling in for Swage, I wouldn't actually be able to get on the podcast at all.
We do miss Swage around here. I wish he'd come back, but I'm sure he's got some things he's doing right now. But whenever he's ready, he is more than welcome to come back.
I believe he is going to come back. I don't know when, but what I've heard, he is coming back. So,
well, no pressure. Like I said, I understand things happen, and he needed to get some things taken care of, and that's perfectly cool. I'm a bit tired tonight, so I do apologize for any of my sluggishness tonight, because I've had a total of 5 hours of sleep in the last almost 40 hours now. I'm trying to adjust to a new work schedule, and it's kind of kicking my butt right now, but hopefully I'll get used to it quickly and everything. Preliminary things look like I will not be able to do a show on Tuesdays, but we are working on keeping the show going on Tuesdays. I would be on the Friday show. I'd still be doing the editing and everything, so I'd be getting those out more on the weekend and everything.
Friday's when all the cool kids are on the show anyway.
But yeah, we still are looking to have a show earlier in the week, maybe Monday or Tuesday. And it'll be hosted by someone differently than me, but just kind of stay tuned for that. Also, my brain is not working right now, but also check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. I'm monitoring the Twitter feed right now, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free to tweet them at us at TFYLP, or you can state them in the comment section underneath the YouTube video.
Don't get arrested,
YouTube.
Chad.
It's the DOJ chasing him down.
I'm right out by the Dayton Airport, and it looks like they've got some kind of situation going on over there. They're actually sending an ambulance and the commander guy in his little vehicle
Red
over
alert.
There. Yeah, basically.
But, it's...
At least it's not Art Fire and Stepper.
Hey, Art Fire and Stepper rocks.
That's very true. They do. They're awesome toys.
Hey, it could be Hosehead or whatever his name was, the headmaster or whatever.
Cab,
yeah. Could be Cab and Minerva.
Cab, Minerva, and Ghost Shooter.
Yeah. What strange names of them. Well, then there's the Squeeze Play.
They're awesome, though.
Yeah, he Squeeze Play is called Cancer in Japan. I can see that name going over very well here.
Yeah, I got Cancer. He's on the shelf.
But, yeah.
I love Headmasters.
So you've shelved Cancer then, huh?
Yes, I have.
Good job.
I got my dose of Cancer on the shelf.
Wow, we're going to new depths now here on the show.
Yes.
Let's
we're only going for the obvious jokes from now on.
Cyber 2 is bought a Constructbot 2 pack, and I do believe he is assembling them at this moment.
I am. I'm trying not to make too much noise. I'll mute myself when I go to pour out a bag. Like right now.
No, I want to hear it. We want to hear it.
Clink, 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 clink.
All right. It's in context.
We got to hear this.
The pieces are too big for the hole I made.
That's what she said.
See, I walked into that.
I might have been up for about 40 hours, but I am still sharp enough to say that's what she said. On cue.
Now, Dern, I have been watching, as I've been posting on Facebook, I've been watching all the old episodes of the TFYLP podcast.
Yes.
Or Geeky, right now
formerly
it's
Geek Existence Transformers, yes.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm going for. And you actually had a different catch line back then that you do not use anymore. Which is kind of interesting. It was, I believe it was episode 15 that you used it. And I'm not going to say what it is. That way everybody has to go listen to episode 15.
Wow.
In order to figure it out.
That's so far back, I can't even remember myself. That was
such
like
a troll.
Years
such a troll, man.
You're being trolled. By your own words, how do you feel now?
Wow. That's some old stuff there. Well, speaking of old things, we did have a segment back then that that we used to do. A lot of people seemed to like it, and we're kind of contemplating it, bringing it back with the YouTube videos here or with the YouTube edition of the podcast. And it was the eBay item of the week. And we used to try, if at all possible, to integrate the eBay item of the week with the main topic of discussion that that we had going for that particular episode. And usually it would be some kind of correlation to it or the exact thing we were speaking about. And this week we are going to bring it back, and I don't particularly have it pulled up, but Trans Jazz was mentioning it on the pre-show, And we're talking about alternators, Transformers alternators tonight. You know, those guys that started out with this Jew here. Yeah, I'm sorry. He's a semi.
He's Jewish now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Again, in pre-show, I was telling the guys I am so tired right now. I was in Walmart this afternoon. I was sent there to pick up some things that we needed, and I literally walked around the store 10 or 15 minutes trying to remember why in the hell I was there.
You heard that. You heard what he said. You heard what he said at first. He walked around the toy aisle.
No. I don't even remember why there. But yeah, we're talking about alternators tonight. And Trans Jazz, do tell us about this cool eBay item of the week that you saw.
Well, I found it earlier today. It was a Mirage, which is the 4GT mold. With it's blue with white stripes, and I believe, if I remember correctly, it was $50. I could be wrong, but I do not remember the number, and I did not write it down. So
I have one brought up right now. I'm showing you guys.
$50.
And here's the robot mode.
Oh, very nice. That is probably one of my favorite molds in the alternator.
It was so hard to find too.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous toy.
That's his point. I never got him.
I like the alternators, Rodimus, the SDCC exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice too. Or was he an SDCC exclusive? I think he was. I know.
You know what?
Nemesis Prime was. Yes, Nemesis Prime was.
Yes, Rodimus was as well. They were two separate years.
Okay.
Now, there is one in particular on here that is open box for $30.
Oh, wow. Is it complete?
Looks like he's got his gun. He might. Let's see what the auction actually says. It doesn't... Very hard. Not complete. Comes with what's shown.
Okay.
Possibly, probably missing one of the guns. Yeah, but I mean, even for $30, that's not bad to at least get the robot.
Mm-hmm.
This is what
you're whiskey, anyway. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, man. You found one cheaper.
There's another old segment that we used to have in the old episodes is Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. And for those of
here's the clear variant for our 190. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's nice. But Whiskey Tango Foxtrot was a segment that just made you look at it and go, what the F? You know, I mean, it was something that we'd find or something that we'd seen or heard, and it was always, what the F, you know?
So there is proof that I have been watching all the old episodes from 11 to, well, I'm on 18 right now.
I feel sorry for you.
Hey,
only about
I don't
60 more to go.
I don't feel sorry for me because that's way before Sideburn 2 was on and the show was a lot better.
Wow.
That's fire. That's fire. Oh,
that's terrible.
I got it backwards.
That's what she said.
Ah!
You're slow. And I've been up since 3 a.m., so.
We are all burning the midnight oil here, and it's only 8:30 p.m. my time right now.
Well, we've all reached that old geezer age. We don't have the old geezer. That's the problem. We don't have the old geezer Megamus on here today.
Yeah, we don't. He's probably off polishing his gun or something, you know.
This episode of TFYLP is brought to you by Coca-Cola.
It's fueled by Coca-Cola.
Save the polar bears.
Save the polar bears this season. It's See? Give me some love.
Also, before we move on to our discussion topic tonight, which is Transformers Alternators, I want to remind people that TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. And also check out, if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, check out the Zone Comics, which is an official moon base of Captured Prey. You can actually go into a store and buy third-party products.
You can buy a third-party.
Third-party products. Now I'm talking. Now I'm talking some crap now. Third party products, yeah.
Get the marshmallows out of your mouth and you can talk.
But yeah, you can go into the Zone Comics in the St. Matthews area. It's right up off of Hubbard's Road, across the street from Target in the Kroger Shopping Center. As a matter of fact, I believe it is right next door to Kroger. There in the corner, and you can really just go in there, and there is Captured Prey product on the shelf, and it's really, really awesome. Highly recommend it, and that is in the Louisville, Kentucky area. And he is looking to expand out the Moonbase program, possibly to Lexington, Kentucky, Indianapolis, Indiana, possibly Nashville, Tennessee, you know, places that he can drive to within a couple hours and keep up with the stock. So that would be awesome, and just keep an eye out for that. We'll also talk about it here on the show in future episodes if it happens, if it comes to be. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Ultra Marginal. Tweeted at us, at TFYLP. He said, "I go into your comp, but alas, I live in Australia and am not eligible. I have been enjoying your show." Well, thank you very much, Ultra Marginal. Sorry that you weren't in the competition, but it's possible in coming giveaways that we have, we will open it up to listeners from around the world. But this one here was kind of small, trying to get a foothold and in our home right now in the U.S. But we are branching out, and we do realize that we have listeners out there around the world, and we thank everyone who listens to TFYLP. And if you are in another country and are listening to TFYLP and watching us on YouTube, please give us a shout-out, whether on Twitter, at TFYLP, on our YouTube channel, or come to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP.
Don't count Chad.
We don't count Chad.
You're part of the crew.
Yeah, he's off in a galaxy far, far away.
Obviously, we can't.
I have my own zip code. Come on, really?
Hey, you're just, right now on our screen, you're just a flashing Death Star on our screen right now. That little...
I love that. Radar. See, that's awesome.
You know that? That's the blip on the radar.
Yeah. Lone Star.
Hey, are we going to get to the breaking news of the day?
The breaking news of the day?
Yeah, didn't they drop the first BotCon exclusive on us today?
Yes, Cannonball. Yeah, we knew it was going to be Cannonball. They had actually mentioned that it was going to be Cannonball before, but today we actually saw some mock-up pictures, and it looks like it's going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, the Beast Hunters or the Prime.
No, it's just the
regular
just
Prime.
The Prime Ratchet.
Yeah. Prime Ratchet mold painted up with a remolded head. Painted up like the Cannonball figure that we got from, I believe, the Revenge of the Fallen line?
No, that was Cybertron.
Was it Cybertron?
Okay.
Yeah. Now, is it weird that I want to see that repainted as Red Alert now? Oh. Even though it's already based on Ratchet?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm surprised that BotCon isn't trying to do something like an Armada box set, you know, because seeing as how, you know, Armada is approaching its, 15th anniversary, it'd be kind of neat, you know, because those kids are getting into their early 20s now. So,
well, hey, I just want to give you my personal opinion. I just want to give you my personal opinion of the Cannonball repaint that they're that they've done. It's crap. It doesn't look near as good as the first one. The original was way better. It's junk. I don't like it. I hope they have four other Transformers that are way better than that, because otherwise they've missed the mark.
Well, your opinion is pretty valuable there, Chad, because if anybody knows Cannonballs, it'd be you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, not the balls.
Hey, do not
this,
forget
this
to
moment is brought to you
Rangers.
By Suede 66. Suede 66.
This is a real robot moment.
Yes. Also known as a cassette man.
This moment has been brought to you by Real Robot, aka Suede 66. If anybody,
yeah, it's
no Cannonball.
My personal opinion, though, it's trash, man. They really missed the mark. They should have used a lower profile vehicle. I mean, he looks big and body for a deluxe. It really just is awful.
Did anybody see that digi badge of it where they were going to use the breakdown mold?
I preferred it to be the breakdown mold.
I think it would have been a lot better.
Yeah. I think it looks fine. I'm going to be the dissenter. But I think it looks fine with the as the Ratchet mold. I mean, he was originally Red Alert, who was more or less an ambulance.
Cyburn, if you look at the official BotCon picture there that we've seen of Cannonball, the head design, that head sculpt absolutely screams Armada Red Alert.
Yeah.
I can see them reusing that head.
And it should, because Cannonball is a repaint of Red Alert.
Yeah. It'll happen. Give it time.
Yeah, me personally, it looks all right. It looks better than Ratchet, you know, when just the plain white and red. I kind of dig this deco on him, but I really don't care about pirates and stuff. I mean, I don't see what the big deal about pirates is.
I don't know. I find that statement amusing. I just really do not care about pirates.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so his booty's at stake.
No, that would be anyway. This is another reference that Trans Jazz will get. And if anybody knows pirates, it would be booty grabbing Galvatron.
I'll tell you what, that intro you guys used to have was freaking awesome.
I made that, actually.
Was good, man. I liked it.
Well, we tried to make something interesting in the show, even though some parts of the show seemed to kind of be dull.
Well, you know, it was all interesting until Insane Galvatron opened his mouth. Then all of a sudden it just went downhill from there. So
everybody knows he's a snooze fest anyway. Nobody would follow an uncharismatic boar like you. Now I'm getting punchy. Okay, let's move into our discussion topic of the evening, Transformers Alternators. For those of you who are new to the fandom, and we know that there are new fans out there,
That's just prime.
No, there's no such thing as new fans.
Yes. Transformers Alternators came out, what was it, around 2004, 2005, somewhere in there?
2003 was the first year we seen them.
Okay.
We seen Smokescreen at BotCon that year.
Yeah. Transformers Alternators was the U.S. release, or North American, and, outside of Japan release of the Binaltech line from Japan. At the time, it was probably the closest that we was going to get to masterpiece versions of the secondary characters that were not Optimus Prime and not Megatron, even though we did get an Alternators Optimus Prime.
Well, they were revealed. I think they were revealed before MP1 was ever revealed.
Yeah. Well, actually, MP01 came out in 2001, I believe. And
no, 2004.
Smokescreen came out first. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Smokescreen was revealed first, and they basically came out at almost the exact same time.
And, well, I am holding up Alternator's Smokescreen right now. For those of you who are watching the YouTube version of it, Alternator's Smokescreen, very much like a G1-esque build, you know, the back of the car basically split in half, and the windshields, or the rear windshield, was on his shins. The car hood came down, became his chest, the doors out to the side, and the wheels on the arms and on the bottom of the feet. Really
go
really
round cool. And round.
Yes. Really cool design, and the hallmark of the Transformers alternators, again, for those of you who don't know, were not only that they were exceptionally detailed, they were also fully licensed vehicles because they had they turned into fully licensed cars. In this case, this is Ricochet, aka Stepper, and basically same mold as this one, as Smokescreen, and turned into a Subaru Impreza.
And they all mostly featured highly detailed interiors, and a lot of the earlier ones had actually had it to where the front wheels were interlocked and they would turn with each other.
Actually, I'm kind of, as you're saying that, I'm kind of trying to give a interior detail look right there on the YouTube videos. You can see the steering wheel, the dashboard. You got your seats. Car door opened up. Look at that. Right down to the gear shift.
That was a phenomenal transformation on that car alone, man. I mean, the seats became the kneecaps. The back windshield was like the front. And just spectacular on that mold in particular.
But yeah, the hood could open up, and there's the engine on the inside. Actually, the engine would come out and become the gun of the robot, and of course,
it only did.
And underside didn't have much kibble, and again, like the there you go, the wheels.
There was only one that did not use the engine as a gun, and that was Wind Charger.
Yeah, it was Actually, the camshaft, wasn't it? The gun? The camshaft?
It was the drive train, wasn't
it? Or drive train.
It was Wind Charger that... I forgot about that one.
Yeah, but well, Wind Charger
had the stupid thing on his arm.
He was a special case because in the Binotech line, he came with a big freaking rifle that was like the entirety of its... the drive train or drive shaft or whatever, and I think it was bits of the engine as well. But Hasbro at the time was sort of warring against robots having guns. Like, we started getting robots that came without any weapons and crap like that. And
not only that, but I think one of the U.S. laws at the time, the choking hazard thing.
At the time, certain licensees wouldn't let them make robots that were for war and were whatever. It was a really interesting time where a lot of figures were coming without weapons of any sort, and ones that did have weapons in Japan were having the weapons removed in America, and I don't know. It was a very strange time to be a fan.
Yeah, the alternators generally, like I said, their hallmark was the detail. And at the time, there were no Transformers that really had this kind of detail.
I mean, and everyone was wanting updated G1, and and they started making that stuff, and it was pretty freaking cool.
Well, I wound up getting, I had the entire line, and there were some of them that were quite hard to find. I know Deceptocharge, who is also the Windcharger mold that was repainted as kind of a drag strip-ish color scheme.
It was a Honda Legion? 2000, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Honda 2000. And
I think it was called Legion in the what was it, Kiss Play comic?
Yeah. That one was difficult to find. There was I believe Swerve was kind of hard to find, which was the red Corvette, the repainted.
That was a KB. That was a KB toy exclusive up until Toys R Us bought out KB the following year.
And then once they bought them out, you could find Swerves at Walmart, couldn't you?
Yeah, they pretty much went everywhere after that. But at first, it was supposedly just a KB exclusive.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the detail on the smoke train. I just noticed it's got 2003 Rally Monte Carlo. So that 2003 is.
They made so many versions of that guy, yeah, too.
Now, the differences between Alternators and Binaltech is that Binaltech was essentially the exact same toy, only the vast majority of the body of the toy was made of die-cast metal. So you had some extremely heavy action figures. I mean, sometimes the die-cast would actually hinder some of the posability of the figure because it would offset some balance. Sometimes that was a big complaint of the Binaltech line, is that the paint would scratch. Yeah, the paint would scratch and chip easily. It offset balances on standing the figure sometimes, and sometimes pieces just wouldn't stay right. Like, for example, if you wanted Smokescreen's doors to be back like this, the weight would just kind of hold them back, or forward like that. It all depended on the tolerance of the actual figure that you got. Some people didn't have that problem, but I didn't on mine. But I did remember reading some people having that issue. But Alternators really, really were cool. They were probably tops on my want list at the time. Every time I'd go into a store, I was looking for Alternators. And there was like different box variants. I mean, you had the blue and black windowed box. You had the red and black box that basically was like a clamshell of the car, on top of the car, and and everything. And there were some people that were going after those variants of packaging.
If you go to tfwiki.net, they actually tell you the reason there's variants in the packaging and why Hasbro changed the stuff. And it all actually has to do with Walmart pulled out and said they weren't going to back the line anymore. And I can't remember the exact details, but it made Hasbro kind of rebrand them and got Walmart to back them again.
I don't remember that, but
might have been because, I mean, you never know. I mean, the packaging might have just been ugly, or it was just taking up either too much space on the shelves, or they just weren't selling, and that's why.
That's what they said. They said the sales were just very minimal in comparison to how many of those they had. Well, it's kind of
like
this.
Think about, like, back when we were kids, we would go into the store and such, And if you're going to buy like Star Wars action figures way back then, you know, the Stormtrooper, you got to think, was packaged pretty much the same way for all three movies. But there were variants in the packaging alone back when Kenner had it. So it's kind of the same thing. I mean, think about it. If I'm not mistaken, Cyburn, weren't there some Beast Wars figures that were done the same way where they did slight different variations in the packaging?
Yeah, in the first wave, there was what's known as the Smooth Bubble, and then the more rare variant is the Rock Bubble. Now, they both had the same sort of styling, but it was the plastic bubble changed.
Didn't they have a triple language thing going on in that line,
was,
too?
International.
Canada and UK.
Yeah.
Well, in UK, Canada was, I don't know if it was called Beast Wars, I think it was called Beasties. And then in the UK, it was Beast Wars Bio Warriors, I think. So yeah, if you wanted to start getting really, you know, really got to have them all, there are several variants of some of those early Beast Wars figures.
Now, Transformers Alternators. What are some of your experiences with Alternators, and what did you come away with? How do you look back upon Alternators now? Let's talk about it. TransJS, let's hear your thoughts on Alternators, thoughts and experiences.
Well, at one point I owned all of them except for Rumble or Frenzy or whatever it was. The last two, the Walmart exclusives, the Ravage.
Oh, you don't have.
And the.
This. This is probably one of my favorite Alternators. I really love the idea of a car turning into a Jaguar. Especially a Jaguar.
It's a Jaguar that turns into a Jaguar. That's yeah. What's so awesome about it.
It's groovy, baby. Yeah. Jaguar.
But I owned all but those two at one point or another. In fact, I owned them all at once, except for those two. And they were great. They filled the hole that I guess Masterpiece now fills for a collector. You know, they
and we know how much you like to fill holes.
That's what she said.
So you for me personally, they were fantastic, and I wish I would have held on to all mine because they would go with, you know, a Masterpiece collection very well.
I think they were more or less in scale with MP01. I mean, I don't see how they were really that out of scale.
They weren't. They weren't that bad out of scale. I know whenever I had them, I always stood them next to my MP01. And they always seemed like just the right height in robot mode and in vehicle mode. They looked like they fit right in with MP01 Prime. And we just lost
two both people. What the heck?
TransJazz and Cyburn 2 dropped inexplicably out of the Google Hangout. Wow.
Here we go with Google being stupid yet again.
And if anybody ever wonders why that we sometimes have so much trouble getting on at exactly the time that we say that we're trying to get on at 8 o'clock, you know, we can't predict crap like this. You know, and Google is just so...
Such a pain in the butt.
Yeah, Google is
hey,
a pain in the
ass. Hey, he's back.
And
hey,
there they both are. Welcome back.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I crossed the state line.
No, actually, you and Sideburn 2 both dropped off at the same time.
Nice.
Yes.
It just crashed for me. It sent me to a hangout by myself.
Yeah. The few times that I've been kicked out on my end, it comes up and it says an error has occurred and this call has ended. I'm like,
mine kept going, but I couldn't hear anything. I could see everything, but I couldn't hear anything at all.
Usually right before it happens, everybody like freezes, and then I hear like a little and it's like static, and then nothing. I'm sitting here just like twiddling my thumbs.
Nothing.
Nothing. Alternators, TransJazz, go ahead and finish up what you were thinking on the alternators.
Like I said, you know, I think they were a great idea, and I really wish they would revisit them in some form or fashion in the future.
So, well, sort of, kind of have, but they're a little, little smaller scale now.
Oh, with the
Alternity. Well, I think you're referring to Alternity.
Yeah.
Alternity.
Which, I wish I had more Alternity.
I from never have I hear, gotten really into good. The Alternity. I just...
Yeah, I have Skywarp, and I really like him.
I haven't transformed this dude in a while. I'm gonna mess with
him.
Who are you trying to transform?
Sunstreaker.
Ah.
But other than that, I think if you...
Yep.
I think we lost him again.
They'll lead you to collect the rest of them because they are just...
they are just what?
He's trolling us.
They're just... Come on, don't leave us hanging, dude. Aw. There he goes again. Insert fail horn here. You know, on the retro kick that Trans Jazz is talking about with the old episodes of TFYLP, you know, we didn't broadcast them live, and me and Insane Galvatron, me and Insane Galvatron, we'd just get on at a random night of the week. I'd call him up and say, hey, you know, let's record an episode of the podcast, and he's like, okay. So we'd get on and on Skype, and I would record, for the bumpers, you know, like for the Ouch My Wallet and the thing, we would stop and then go and insert bumper here, and then we'd pause a second, and then we'd start talking, and then I'd be like, and insert bumper here, and then that took so long whenever I would go to edit podcasts, because I would have to listen to the podcast through its entirety and find where I would say insert X bumper here and cut that out and put the bumper in. And I'm like, I don't have the time for this.
You're ruining the magic, man.
Yeah.
Welcome to the wonderful world of editing.
Yes. But at the time,
some of you guys want to know why sometimes it takes me forever to put a video out. Well, I mean, look at the quality of the stuff I do. I do a lot of editing.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, Plasticon, when's your next video coming out, man? It's been like forever.
I know, right? It's only been like maybe about a week. I'm sorry. For my fans out there that are watching right now, the reason why I haven't put any videos out is because I'm in the middle of a 35mm shoot. Today was our very first day of shooting. We have 4 days left, which means we have Sunday off, which you might get a video that day, depending on what I got going on.
I don't know if that means anything to him.
Yeah, it probably means nothing. but I will end up having more stuff out. I've already got stuff that's recorded. I just need to get it edited, and I just literally have had no time. I've been up since 3:30 this morning, and right now it's 9 p.m. So go figure. I'm like drawing. I'm delirious. Yes.
I promise I will get the audios of the last two episodes out. I am off the next couple days. Well, I'm off tomorrow, and then I go back to work Sunday night. So I should be able to get an episode out tomorrow, depending on how long I sleep tonight. So I do apologize for the length of those, but like I said before, you know, if you absolutely are jonesing for listening to the audio version of the podcast, feel free to just load it up on the YouTube and listen to it that way if you have a mobile device that is capable. I understand some people can't because, you know, limited bandwidth and data. You know, my phone, I have limited data, so I don't stream long videos on my phone unless I'm on Wi-Fi. But, you know, that is an alternative. But again, I do apologize. I will get them out as soon as possible.
I just want Durin and Plasticon to know I am the biggest fan of both of you guys. So I constantly am watching videos of one or the other of you. So go TFYLP, check out TFTalk.net, and also Plasticon Reviews and Plasticon Studios. They all rock, man. They all rock. You guys all ought to see everything they do.
Brian Johnson posted on Facebook a short while ago, and he's also ribbing me for the third party comment. Okay. Well, I was starting to say I thought I lost everybody there.
Ribbing you for her pleasure?
Yeah, ribbing me for my pleasure. No, he's ribbing me for the third party comment. The third party.
This is now known as the glitch cast.
Yes. But he said Plasticon. His latest comment was Plasticon. God, it's God, Plasticon. It's been a week. It's like forever. Unsubscribe. So
that's okay. It's coming from a Canadian.
Oh.
I know him. So.
That's cool, eh?
ATF, go have fun. There's more stop motion, dude. People want to see your stuff. Anyway, go ahead. I'm plugging TF fan page. Go check out his stuff. He does a lot of stop motion. You guys like it.
Yes.
There's your plug, buddy.
Sideburn 2, your thoughts on... Okay. I'm a bigger fan. I have their T-shirts. Whose T-shirts?
No, you don't have my T-shirts. I don't have it yet. Yet.
And there's only three T-shirts in existence right now. I have one. Plasticon has one. And Sidecutter from Capture Prey has one.
Need to get some more, dude.
Yes, yes.
Well, I know. I only know of one other person that has T-shirts on this podcast right now. But he went out of business last year. So there's no way he could possibly have one of those shirts. Because they're rare.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to get one of those.
I've got one at the house for you.
Well,
I just need, I'll send it
with
Ramhorn.
Okay, that'd be awesome.
That'll be tomorrow.
Wait, you're what Ramhorn? G1?
Yeah, I traded
G1.
Beast Hunter's Prowl for G1 Ramhorn.
Nice. Score.
Yes.
I like Ramhorn. Hey, he's cool.
I think I got the deal of the week, though. I traded my Nemesis Prime, with the trailer set from Fans Project, along with a couple of the little perfect guys for a Year of the Horse masterpiece.
Prime, it sounded like you went in slow motion. The
guys. Okay, here I go.
That's the way it sounded on our end, I swear.
You think you got the deal of the week?
Okay, let me try it again.
Okay.
I traded my... I got the deal of the week. Nemesis Prime. I traded my Nemesis Prime that I had at the show at Slagicon this year, Durin, with the Fans Project trailer and the two little perfect effect guys for the guns.
Yes.
For a Year of the Horse Masterpiece Prime in box, brand new.
Oh, that is a good trade, in my opinion.
Year of the Horse Prime.
So, I think
insert fart sound here.
That is a good trade.
Yes, I think it is. But anyway,
damn it, man.
We digress.
I thought I did well.
For suckers!
We digress. Let's get back to Transformers Alternators. Sideburn 2.
This is being a pain in the butt.
Please do impart us your knowledge and thoughts and recollections upon the Transformers Alternators brand. La 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 la.
You know, I really like them. I only have six of them. And those are the only six I've ever had.
You have sex with them?
Yes. all the time, you know. It's so amazing.
Especially that Jaguar, you know. Since they're getting into that bestiality stuff there.
But yeah, I was a kid then, and they were expensive.
So he is into beasties.
Oh, yes. You know it. But yeah, you know, you can't go wrong. I mean, even though he was a Ford Mustang, Grimlock is freaking awesome. They were really, really freaking cool. They were too expensive at the time. I couldn't buy many of them.
They were averaged about $20 to $25, yeah.
Yeah. And it was a lot easier to get Armada figures. You know, I think most of the ones I got, I actually got around Christmas when things would go on sale. And I would get some Christmas money and manage to buy a few of them.
In retrospect, what would you have rather have been buying, Armada figures or alternatives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alternators for sure.
Belly.
But you know, I accidentally knocked stuff down when I put Grimlock back up there. Yeah, it's the big problem I have with them still to this day, though, is they take up a lot of space for not being able to display a lot of them in one area. Like, the six I have will hog up most of a shelf that I could probably fit 20 or 30 normal, you know, Deluxe and Voyager-class figures on. If I really, you know,
honestly,
mess with them. But they get in each other's way. They got bits hanging off of them and this stuff, and it's hard to set them up.
Honestly, and have the all best them way to display an alternator is in the vehicle mode. If you want to conserve space, their vehicle modes tend to be smaller, you know. I think there's a couple, I think Prime, he's kind of smaller in robot mode than vehicle mode, but at least he seems that way. But for the most part, they're all smaller.
If you can keep him together.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved him, but at the same time, I kind of hated how much kibble was on him. And that was also a big downfall of some of the alternators. Some of them had a lot of kibble.
Yeah, a lot.
I love Trax. That's another one of my favorite alternators mode. But at the same time, he had a ton of kibble on him. I mean, he literally had a skirt of kibble. You know, I mean, the car hood in pieces, the fenders in pieces, you know, the back pieces, and then you had the missiles. It's like he was essentially a big shell former.
Yeah, and not a lot of posability.
No, yeah, he was pretty limited as far as that was concerned.
And a lot of them were that way. They were really lots of kibble. I mean, this was before this sort of, I don't know, technical genesis of Transformers, when they were still, it was still a lot of, it either had to be really simple or it had to have a lot of kibble. And they've really gotten better. I mean, they still look cool, but man, they've aged. And engineering on Transformers has gotten much more advanced.
Yes. Ball and socket joints have helped a bunch.
Well, the Masterpiece line is actually reimagining, I think, what they were aiming for with the alternators back then. the new masterpiece. I mean, I'd like to take a few photos of masterpiece. Smokescreen standing next to alternator smokescreen, just to kind of let people see the change in engineering over the years. I mean, back then these guys were like the pinnacle of it, but now,
yeah,
not so much.
When you had things like Armada Hotshot and stuff coming out alongside of it,
yeah,
they were like, well, even MP10, he seemed like some marvel of engineering, and now it's sort of like, this is what we were amazed by back then.
Yeah.
MP01.
Yeah.
See, sadly, yeah. Sunstreaker's got way too much kibble. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
That's the entire car. Like, yeah, over half the car, and then you got this big hood. It's like,
yeah,
you'd think they could have engineered this.
Hood.
I mean, if they would have just engineered this to come up and spin around and fold against his back, that would have just completely fixed the problem, but it didn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was one of the big problems of him. I mean,
well,
he's not a bad
robot. Did you
robot.
Know that
he's
originally they were not going to release Sunstreaker because the yellow plastic was a little more transparent than the darker plastics, and they were afraid that the darker bits would show through too well on that figure, and they initially weren't going to release a Sunstreaker figure for that reason. But the fans demanded.
That's why we originally got Dead End.
Yeah.
Which is also an awesome toy.
Yeah, Dead End was actually the Sunstreaker mold as a Decepticon. And okay, it should be noted that most of the Alternator line was actually, you would have like an Autobot version and then a Decepticon version of the same vehicle with a different paint scheme and sometimes a different head. And it would be like, for example, Hound was repainted yellow and black and gave a different head and was called Swindle. So yeah,
it actually
there's a good there you go, MP01.
That actually, but the neat thing of the
there's MP01 and Sunstreaker together. They're about to, I mean, the alternators kind of come up to
the neat thing about that, Durin, is the
go ahead.
Sorry. The neat thing about that, Durin, what you just said was the they actually had no intentions of, when they first started the line, of having any Decepticons in the Alternators whatsoever. It was going to be all Autobots.
Yeah.
And they decided that later on, they redesigned them, and because Swindle was actually supposed to be another character, and so was Dead End, for that matter.
Yeah.
They both were designed as different characters.
Well, Windcharger was originally supposed to be Megatron, from what I understand. But whenever they announced that that was their intentions, or the fans got wind of it, I remember there was a lot of uproar saying,
Megatron,
you mean to tell me Megatron engine is going to be a Honda S2000?
Oh, and, Windcharger.
Yes. And it's like the Honda S2000 in real life is actually a very tiny car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just wouldn't have made sense. So.
Wait. You gotta remember, Megatron turned into a gun in G1.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the same fandom. That, yeah.
Yeah, but at least a gun shoots people. A Honda S2000. Might hit someone and then stop with them like on their bumper. But
fast, yeah, shifting. Ah.
that car can't even run somebody over.
Yeah. So Plasticon, your thoughts and recollections and afterthoughts on Alternators.
I don't actually just hope he don't fall over.
yeah, hope they don't fall over. That's a good one.
that's actually an excellent one, because they are kind of a pain in the butt to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind them. I actually like their car molds much better than the robot modes because half the time they're way too kibble heavy for me. But for the most part, I can see where they were going with it. And if it wasn't for that line, they wouldn't have done Alternity. They wouldn't have done Masterpiece. So I can see where they were going with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, I think they learned a lot of stuff just from doing those toys and from just repackaging them into some other different type of package to sell to the market. Because if you think about it like this, it's like if they decide to reissue like they did with Fort Max, but reissue it with the original type of box, it would have been a total different fandom that would have went after it. You know what I mean? Because it'd be the guy that just wants to finish his Fort Max instead of trying to find a vintage box for it. So it's kind of almost on the same way if, you know, they completely repackage something. And I liked the idea that they learned a lot of stuff from it. And, I mean, even with marketing. So the entire line, though, I don't mind the line at all. But to me, I think I actually like the Alternity better, but Alternator's nice.
Well, Alternity is a good example of the evolution of a concept.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example, yeah. Especially now that they have those figures that actually can display with them that are they're supposed to be like Japanese supermodels and stuff like that you put with them, but it's kind of cool. That they have one that's kind of in scale. Well, it is Kiss Play is what it is.
We essentially can't mention Alternators and Biotech without mentioning Kiss Play.
Right. And it's actually
that didn't... Because
those figures, I think, are posable, too.
Yeah.
They go with it, so...
They're like little Micromen. I think they have the same sort of articulation. But yeah, that actually started before... Before Kiss Play, though, there was a couple of figures that came with human partners, female human partners, if I recall correctly. And I can't remember. It might have been Binaltech GT or something like that. I can't remember the name of the line, but there was one that came. I think it might have been Mirage, but I'm not sure. And or Prowl. A couple of them came with female figures.
Oh. There's some weird sounds.
And he's gone.
He's probably on dropping his trailer because you say you need to go drop a trailer.
Yeah. Leave it to Chad to drop his load on this podcast. But, all over the face!
God.
Facial! There we go.
Hey, did you drop your load?
Hey, yeah. Hey, Duren, I wanted to ask you a question real quick. Does Crim Zeke Kiss Player ring a bell at all?
Crim Zeke Kiss Player?
You mean Crim Zeke and... Didn't he come with...
Didn't he come with Prime?
No,
he came with
can't remember her name.
Broadblast?
No, he wasn't came with a female figure.
Wasn't it Auto Trooper?
Auto Rooper, yes. Yeah.
Well, he came with a larger scale version of the female character that came with Auto Rooper.
Yeah, I just listened to the episode today where you and Insane Galvatron were actually talking about the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dark days in Transformers history.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think the Prime box was the most, one of the most disturbing because it literally, on the box was pink, or mostly pink, and it had... Basically, a little Japanese schoolgirl, or anime-ish schoolgirl, bent over with her panties showing, and Prime kind of leaning forward with a bead of sweat coming off of his forehead.
Well, she was giving him a kiss.
Yes. You take from that what you may. And that is exactly.
I believe the line was they powered up by being kissed by the females. And but you know what? For the longest time,
Optimus Prime became a raging semi.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, for a while, that was the best way to get a cheap alternators / Biontech Optimus, and it was also the best painted of them all.
Yeah.
Well, so you would get it, and you would throw away the pink box, and you would throw away the little girl, and you would throw away the surfboard. And pretend that that horrible, horrible mess never happened.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was one of the things with Kiss Play is that you wanted them because the vinyl techs that were inside were really, really awesome. They had good paint jobs. They were like essentially a better version of the ones that we got here in the United States. But the thing is like you had to get that at the cost of feeling like a pervert ordering this toy.
I am not a pervert, I swear it. I never bought, I almost bought that Optimus, but I never did because I was like, I don't want my parents to see me with this thing.
Maybe once you get out on your own, you can track
it's
down.
Too late for that now. I have no desire.
Yeah, so Sideburn 2 is going to eBay now.
Well, I'm kidding. I've already made the commitment to buy or to spend a lot of money. So,
well, if you're, I just gotta say, like I said in pre-show, if you're going to buy one, buy two, and keep one for yourself.
You have a Titan class vehicle now, don't you, Mike?
You're talking about my Nissan, yeah?
Yeah. I was about to say, how's that treating you?
I wish I could drive it right now. Because it's not that bad. My temporary tag expired, and I'm waiting for them to send it to me. It's supposed to be coming within the next few days. I have brand new tires on it and everything. I can't drive it.
Have you given it a Transformer name yet?
I have not.
You need to give it. I got a perfect name. Alternators Optimus Prime.
I don't think so.
Kiss Play Prime?
Where's the cricket?
Every time you go up here, go.
Where's the cricket sound at?
Awesome.
A bit of side news here. Take it with a grain of salt. But he says that it came from reliable sources, but TFW member Dame Chalk posted earlier today on Facebook that an upcoming 30th anniversary Leader Jetfire has been seen by some people. The jet mode will be based on the G1 toy, like the Macross version, and it has the boosters.
Look out, Harmony Gold.
Yeah, he looks like the Valkyrie. Robot mode will be based on the cartoon look from the show, with a mostly white color scheme, with red accents, and it'll be an entirely new mold. It'll have the cartoon-styled face and a hybrid-style face mask that will give it the visor and the antennas, like the G1 toy. So there has been some speculation that whenever Hasbro won the lawsuit with Harmony Gold, that they also got the rights to the likeness of that character.
Wonder where they got the helipad from. You guys know what I'm referring to, right?
The helipad.
Helipad. Whirl! Come on!
No. Oh, yeah, because he has...
He has an official Gerwalk mode, and it's called HelloPad.
Oh, I was unaware of that.
That's an awesome freaking name. I'm so freaking happy about that. That's so funny.
In fact, he has two different configurations of that mode.
Yes, he does.
Very cool. Well, let's do a quick Ouch My Wallet for this episode, and we will wrap it up. Anybody got something for Ouch My Wallet? I know Cyburn 2 does, and he's, matter of fact, he's assembling it right now. Chad, do you have anything for Ouch My Wallet?
Well, I bought
Flash once for yes.
Since
Flash
the last time I did Ouch My Wallet. since the last time I did Ouch My Wallet, I've gotten a Kalis, 4 Tenkai Knights, and I've got all those in hand. And then I've also ordered knockoff Sideswipe, or Masterpiece Sideswipe, the knockoff cassettes, Rumble, Frenzy, Ravage, and Buzzsaw, and a knockoff Red Alert.
Very nice. Now, what's your thoughts on Kalis, the third-party version of Swoop, like the Fall of Cybertron?
I love it. I love it, man. I hope that picture that they posted on their Facebook page comes to fruition, and they have 6 Dinobots. That'll be freaking awesome.
With the inclusion of Paddles, the Plesiosaur.
Yes, that I love it. That's great.
I'm still waiting on somebody to do that with freaking Sludge.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody do us a favor, please, with the G1 Sludge and make us a Plesiosaur. That'd be so funny.
What about you, Plasticon? Have anything for Ouch My Wallet?
Ouch Me Wallet. Yes. I actually, it's not really an Ouch My Wallet. It's more or less a trade I did. I did a trade with a buddy of mine. He wanted some MicroMasters, so I hooked him up because I had tons of extras, like sets. And I have gotten in return the rare variant of the Browning, which is the red one.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's in here. He's never been like removed from the foam. So
very nice.
I opened it up and looked at the foam, and then I put it back at home. I haven't took it out. I'll probably will eventually because
that was
Insane
Galvatron got both of those variants.
This one's extremely hard to get right now though.
Yeah, he got both of those. That was some of the stuff that he had shipped to my place here, and he opened them up here. And I have to say that's the first time I'd ever actually got to handle a Browning figure, and it is a phenomenal little toy. I kind of wish we had gotten them over here.
I kind of wish they would have used that for Megatron versus the gun that eat the Gam, because that stands up better and it holds together better.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we hear a guy just like a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago say, a real collector don't leave it in the box. He takes it out and he plays with it.
I will be taking it out. I said I haven't yet. I said that. You're listening. Oh, and also I got a Bumble Jumper.
Nice.
I'm owner of a Bumble Jumper, finally. And I got 2 more little Pyromasters. He sent me like an extra high Q, and then one of the Pyromasters to one of the Dreadwings. But he's also sending me the other half of the Dreadwing jet with – it doesn't actually have the Power Master for that one, so I'm going to have to chase down that one. So I'm working on them, guys.
Excellent.
Getting there.
And Cyber 2, what about – what made your wallet say ouch?
Well, first up, I got to give an on-podcast shout-out to Aaron E. Doyle Rules on our Facebook page, because last week I posted that I could not find the last 2 figures I needed from the Creo Wave 3 set, being Sharktacon and Nosecone, and he hooked me up. So shout out to you. Thanks for that.
Awesome.
And then today I went hunting for yeah. Today I went hunting for a $13 Beastfire Predaking to no avail. I had a friend call me today, said he found it at his Target for $13. And so I went to a couple of Targets and found nothing. But I saw something that was on sale for super cheap. It was the Construct Bots double pack with Optimus and Megatron. Originally $24.99, and I saw the clearance tag said $6.24.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I keep saying that I understand the appeal of these, but as a collector, I have no reason to buy them. But you know, under $7 after tax is good enough reason for me.
Good input.
So I figured I'd buy them and make a final informed judgment on these. So I'm piecing them together right now. I've got Optimus. I've transformed him. Robot mode, not bad. Vehicle mode, so. It's a little weak. I don't quite like the way the joints work. They sort of, instead of being round, they got, like, different catches. So you got, you know, like, snappy. You either get it straight or you get it bent at this degree.
I hate it when I get bent.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know. If I saw more for super cheap, would I buy them? I don't know. Maybe. Right now, this will probably be the last two I buy. The first two and last two for $7 because they were really cheap.
Yeah, they look interesting. I'd like to pick up maybe one of the small, you know, less than $10 yeah. sets or something.
And see, I was a Bionicle kid. And so I was, you know, I thought maybe this would sort of appeal to that. It's sort of like Bionicle, but really it's not much like Bionicle. And so I can see why these are shelf-warming. They don't have the sort of rebuild it, or, you know, the customization options of Lego, of something like Bionicle. You can't take them apart, reconfigure them as easy as you could those figures. So,
final verdict.
Nice.
Final verdict is they're a waste of Walmart and Target shelf space. But they're not. They're all right for $7 for two of them.
Hey, nice thing about that is a cheap way to get a custom head. If you're doing a custom or something,
leave it to Chad to come up with a cheap way to get head.
Yeah,
head and balls. I swear, what's up with him?
Well, hey, it's a little. Hey,
you know,
at least I'm not the cheap one giving head there.
Oh yeah, Dron, didn't you get something?
Yeah, I did.
On the in the head range.
Yeah, actually, I did, and I sent it to you, a picture of it to you on your phone, so you should have it by now. But yeah, I traded with our very own.
Yeah. Send all your penis pics to Drawn Land at.
No, please do not.
That's area code. So.
8675309.
8675309. Jenny, don't send your picture. Jenny, yeah. I'll send you mine.
Oh, yep, we're about that old, guys.
We have officially derailed completely, folks.
Well, before we go off,
speaking of derails, we need people to be spamming the crap out of Raiden. Somebody make us an updated Raiden. Yes. Seriously. It's a freaking train bot that needs some love.
Definitely. But speaking of love, I have to talk about this figure briefly that I love. And I made a trade with our very own Swage 66 and picked up Warden from Perfect Effect. A lot of people might have saw Swage 66 pictures of this guy. I posted one up on the Facebook page a short while ago. And this figure is absolutely phenomenal. It's not as big as I expected it to be, but you know,
turn into a head.
Yeah. Well, he also turns into a big tank too, and I really could care less about the tank mode and the tank treads. Although I have to say, I was impressed that the tank treads weren't molded plastic tank treads. They were actually rubber tank treads that move. And nice. That is a
impressive.
Yeah, that is a really nice feature.
Someone's turning.
Yeah, this guy though, I mean, his articulation is amazing. I mean, he's got look at that. I mean, his midsection can even move, and the ratchet joints in the hips, the knees, the ankle pivots, his hands can even open. And of course, being a headmaster, his head does come off and transform. You know, so
who is that made by?
This is made by Perfect Effect, the same people that made the add-on kit for your Nemesis Prime that you just traded.
That's true.
They also make the Knot Reflector, by the way, guys, out there that don't know that.
Or one version of it. There's a TFC Photron as well.
Well, it's the one that's closer to the one.
Yeah, but the head of Warden, essentially Spike from G1, the head of Warden... even the
Fortress
arms
for you Japanese people.
Yeah, even the arms of the small robot have elbows. And get this, it has light piping. The small head has light piping in the eyes. And just the detail is so phenomenal on this figure. From what I understand, it's about $150, but dude, it's worth it. This thing is worth it. And if you have a G1 Fort Max, his third mode is a head, a Fortress Maximus head that does interact with G1 Fort Max.
It does.
And that is spectacular.
I watched PR's review of that thing, and it was pretty good. He did start out in the tank mode and said that the tank mode's very fiddly.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you take the gun and you just set it on top and it doesn't, like, lock in or anything. But, I mean, I like my Fort Max the way it is, but if I was lucky enough to run across maybe getting another one that was missing the Cerebros.
Look, he's even got a big car.
I don't know if this is coming through.
I'd be very tempted to buy that thing if I had a... Fortress Max.
I don't know if this is coming through, but this is the Megatron head sculpt for this. I might have just found my favorite part of this set. He has a big old like anime smirk, like he's just gritting his teeth, like big old smile.
Yeah, that's
he looks like he's straining to drop one out or something.
No,
like that looks like the animated head.
It's like a big old animated series. Like a big old anime smirk, like.
From what I hear, that is that's the most attractive thing about the entire set is the way that Megatron's head is. It's just insane. It's just so funny because
his
like,
head is like it makes him look freaking badass, man.
True.
Most of them.
He's like Japanese anime. Bad guy's about to kill people.
If you're kind of wondering how big Warden is compared to M3 from Fans Project, there they are standing next to each other behind me. Pretty cool.
He's pretty decent size. I would be tempted, but I would have to have another Fortress Maximus body to do that.
Actually, because
I'm not. I like the way mine looks.
To keep it in context of the episode, here is Alternator Smokescreen, and
well, that's a decent sized figure.
Yeah, he's a good sized Voyager, is what he is. Very good sized Voyager. And for those of you who have never seen a Fort Max in person, these two guys standing next to each other, and you can see them in relation to the size of my rather large head. This guy turns into the head of a G1 toy. Yes, Fortress Maximus is that big.
I'm gonna see a G1 Fortress Maximus in person within the next month or so.
Like, how's the quality of it? Does it feel decent? Like, hefty,
the thing has diecast in it.
Well, I know it has diecast, but I'm talking about the plastic bits.
Very sturdy. This is a very sturdy toy. I have no problems transform. Compared to Diesel. Diesel, you know, I said how much I hated transforming Diesel. This mm-hmm. thing here, while very complicated, it is a complicated transformation, but it was still fun. This was a very fun transformation. Now, by fun, I mean, I consider some alternators fun. I mean, you know, if you don't mind flipping a lot of panels and everything, you wouldn't mind this guy. You know, there are a lot of panels.
That looks pretty nice. He's got a nice stance.
Yeah. The die cast on here, I was really, really... I was unaware that he had die cast, but the knees are die cast. Trying to figure out what else is. I think behind... Yeah. The knees and the shins are die cast. So,
yeah, from what I heard, he had like a decent, like solid base. So, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Although... I mean, when you set him down, he's not moving.
No. I mean, look at this. I mean, he's solid. There's nothing loose and floppy about him at all. The tolerances are all very nice. It is a very, very good buy. I mean,
so he has any issues holding the large rifle? If you wanted to like prop it up on his shoulder or anything,
to prop it up on his shoulder, now if you wanted to just hold the gun out. The BFG, hold it out.
Yeah.
He might have a little trouble holding it with one arm, you know, but it's, you know, it's kind of like me, you know, I have to use two hands, but.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have him holding it out with one arm. That's too much.
Yeah.
You and your two hands.
I was kind of wondering if anybody would catch that joke, but it's kind of like me, I have to have two hands. All right. Well, I think that'll wrap it up for this episode of TFYLP. I want to thank Trans
Finally.
Jazz. I want to thank Trans Jazz. I want to thank Sideburn 2. And I want to thank Plasticon. Thank you guys for joining me this week.
Anytime.
And most of all, I want to thank you listeners for listening to TFYLP. Without you, we wouldn't be a show. And if you love our show, if you like our show, please subscribe, please like our show, and please share our show. Share it with everybody who you know likes Transformers. Help us get out there and help us get noticed. Tell them why you love TFYLP, because we love doing this show. I mean, like I said at the top of the show, I've been up for almost 40 hours, and I've had 5 hours of intermittent sleep, and I could not wait to come on the show tonight. You know, I wouldn't miss it if I can help it. And it's that kind of drive that we all have for this show. And we're always trying to make things better and trying to bring forth new and innovative things that you just don't normally see around the Transformers fandom on a regular basis with good quality. And that's what we strive for here at TFYLP. We might not always be the best podcast out there, but we're striving to be. And again, if you love us, share us and subscribe and like us. That is the most important thing.
And if you like it, put a ring on it.
Hey, we're guaranteed.
And there's always at least one guaranteed laugh on this show. That most certainly was not it, though.
That's some amazing.
I think the new slogan for
come on. I at least made plastic on
that. That was good. That was good.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Chad. I think the new slogan for TFYLP is always socially incorrect.
Yeah, we don't exactly strive for politically correct on this show.
You know, the non-politically correct show. Do not tune here. If you want politically correct, go elsewhere. You're not going to find it here.
No. we're not necessarily a kid-friendly show. No, and for those of you,
but we parents, have fun.
Yeah, for those of you parents who are parents that let your child listen to this show,
shame on you.
Yes, but we do enjoy what we do, and we do enjoy collecting Transformers and talking about them, and that's what we do on this show, TFYLP, and at TFTalk.net. Check out TFTalk.net with an ever-growing TF museum of nice high-res pictures and information. And yes, we have a message board, people. Please post on it. I paid a lot of money for the thing. I hate seeing it just sit there. but yes, check out TFTalk.net, and most of all, check us out on YouTube on a weekly basis. We should be back on next Tuesday night. I don't know if I personally will be, but I'm sure somebody will make sure an episode gets up, and I will get the episode out in the audio format as soon as humanly possible for me. Guys, thanks for joining us. We will see you next time on TFYLP. This is Weird Wolf signing off.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.